All right. Because we definitely have to finish this topic today, right? So what we're going to try to do is now really get into the nitty-gritty, some halacha l'maisa cases of where a person is caught close to Shabbos and what are the options in terms of getting back. So what I wanted to do is two things. I want to review what we've said until now quickly, because it should be like now second nature to you guys, of course. Right? And also add one additional thing that we didn't talk about yet, which I almost was going to skip with you guys, but I said, that's not fair. You got to hear the whole thing. Right? And that's the halacha of Tchum. Who knows about the halachas of Tchum? Tchumen. Most people know very little, so we're going to have to educate ourselves a little. All right. So I'll save the new stuff in case these guys do show up. And we'll do the review while we're waiting. All right. So I'm going to be asking questions. I want answers. Everybody remembers the breakup of the times, right? The status of
Vadayom.
Right. Vadayom up until Shkia. From Shkia, we get that extra 40 minutes that Moshe Feinstein gave us, right? By saying, Safik Yom Safik. Vadayom, according to the Rebbeinu Tam, and Vaday Laila, according to the Gra, combines to create a Beinu Shmashos of its own, right? So that Beinu Shmashos is then extended in New York time, 40 minutes. And then after that, we're going to have to be Machmir like it's Vaday Shabbos, right? So then we went over last time what halachas, what heterim applied during each of those periods. This is the thing you want to get to have sort of second nature as much as possible. So we said during pre-Shkia time, those 18 minutes, and what was the chatchil, everything's mutter. Right? That's important to emphasize. It's like that. It's not just b'diavad, but you weren't mekabel Shabbos, and it's vaday yom, and that's it. You should try to get in kabel Shabbos at least a minute or two prior to Shkia in order to be mekabel the mitzvah of Tosefes.
Why do we have that time of halachas in our son?
So there's basically two reasons given. One, what Moshe Feinstein writes is that there is a sheet of the Urayim, right? We talked about Rabbeinu Tam and the Gra and the Gaonim as to when Ben Hashmashas is. The Urayim, or the other Mimitz, he says that Ben Hashmashas is prior to Shkia. The three quarters, it's a very unique sheet though, right? The three quarters time of Ben Hashmashas is actually prior to Shkia. So that's where it comes from. That's what Moshe writes. Others write, I think it was Rosh Hashanah Zalman, that like when he was describing why in Yerushalayim do we have this 40 minutes pre-candle lighting, right? Yeah. It's laharchik, it's adam in avera, to encourage people to do Tosefes, the mitzvah of Tosefes.
But,
so it's a different, why does it have to be so much time?
What about the Gemara in Safam about it? Makam Shinadu, where if everybody is Makabal Isser Malacha in advance, then you have to be Makabal in advance.
Right, so that's a very important element to this. That is brought down the halacha. In other words, there's a lot of rules about it. There's a lot of rules about it. So, for example, and it is no gay here. I'll give you a little example where this came up. Let's say you're part of one little shkina where the entire tzibor is mekabel on themselves Shabbos together, and you're part of that tzibor. So, all the things we said about you being mekabel Shabbos yourself voluntarily and timing it are out. If you're part of a tzibor, the tzibor could be mekabel it, and you're like beholden to it. Right, Malcolm, that's what you're getting at.
Right.
You're part of that tzibor.
And I would think that the whole world is a tzibor of 18 minutes, because everybody accepts.
No, what the reality is that in our times, it's very different than that. Like, take a neighborhood like Teaneck. Every shul is mekabel Shabbos at a different time. And not only that, within a shul, there are multiple minyanim that have different times. So because of that, what Rabbi Neuberger once told me he did when he was the Rav at Einstein, where this, of course, I told you, comes up in the medical realm, these kind of things coming up all the time. So what he did with the people that were coming in late is he was incorporating them into the late minyan automatically. The assumption was that they would not be automatically in the shops. Now, because otherwise we'd be in big trouble. Otherwise we'd be in trouble if we don't have a choice on it, then we lose. Because there's another Indian is, you know, when you're Mekabel Shabbos, right, we didn't get into this that much, but when you're Mekabel Shabbos during Tosefes time, are you Mekabel it in the Torah's this, Bein HaShemashos type, or are you Mekabel it like Shabbos Mamish type? And the reason, what's the reason to think that it's like this type?
Because it's not Lila.
Because, no, more than, you know what would result? You would have Kabbalah Shabbos here, where the halachos of the chumras of the later time, then you'd suddenly go into a banish mashos, and then you'd go back, that would be like crazy. So the given is that you're makabel on yourself, really like a banish mashos status. That's the way
and
it
you
looks.
Can be makabel shabbos.
It's called your mechayev iser malacha. You're not mechayev on yourself, mechayev on yourself anything beyond. Yisra malacha, or the Isra bein hashmashos.
Why not say you're mekabel on yourself?
Not
Shabbos
Dusha Shabbos.
Shabbos Vada, and it lasts throughout bein hashmashos.
Right, if you wanted to, you could do that.
If you don't specify that.
Right. We're talking about if you don't specify. Correct. Correct.
That counts for Tosafot Shabbos, even if you want to do bein hashmashos,
right.
Not Shabbos.
Yes,
Vada.
Yes. That's the
that
yep. That's the advice. No, as a matter of fact, from Shtermach, we want to really get into this topic. I wasn't planning on it. Shtermach writes that, I think it was Shtermach, if I'm not mistaken, I read a lot of people on this, but I think it was him who said, when you mekabel Shabbos, you should write, you should say, Shabbos kudshim. So I'm like, throw the word kedusha in, and that really throws it to the full, not just the Isra Malacha, but you're being mekabel on yourself, Shabbos Mamash. And he thought that was the right thing to do, like you're implying. Alright, but none of this is going to be holding us back, because we're going to be consciously not doing that, right? So we're going to be consciously trying not to be Mekabel Shabbos at all, right? So we quickly review. So everything's mutter here. What's mutter during Bein HaShemashos?
And
good. That'll come in handy. And what about Shabbos Mamash? That's where we ended off. What kind of leeway do we have in Shabbos Mamash? If you're really so late, you're coming up right during Shabbos. So Pekuach Nefesh for sure, good. Shvus the Makom Mitzvah, right? Because that's always the given rule. Right, Amir LaNochri, to do a Derabbanan, the Tzorach Mitzvah is going to be Mutter, right? And then the big question is that, right? How do we implement that, right? Baal HaEiter's take, the two sugyas, it's the Baal HaEiter's take on Amir LaNochri. There's a minority shita that's much more makel than the rule we accept, which says that any Amir LaNochri is Mutter but Tzorach Mitzvah. You can do anything. Right, we don't pass them that way the chatchila, but there might be circumstances where we're going to loosen up, and coupled with mishehichshich alav haderech, right, which is that other sugya where we see the chazal because they were worried people would do worse averos, lightened up and gave heterim where they don't normally do it. So that needed hefsed meruba. It has to be to bring in this last big heter. We got to be talking about a very large Mesiris Nefesh type of sacrifice you're making for Shabbos. So,
you said each person you ask them whether they think it's a big sacrifice that they're making.
Right, it's a subjective thing. It's going to be different according to every person. Okay? I think most people, there's certain things everyone agree on. If you're really in danger of losing your car, mom is having it taken away, and you're not adequately insured, that's going to be part of it. Let's say you want to get rid of your car and get the insurance money, then you might be more than happy to let it get stolen. But if you're you have a nice new car and the insurance is not covering everything, and it's not yet in, so that would be a hefsed meruba for most people, and they would probably be allowed to have a, we'll see as we get to the scenarios, you can actually ask the non-Jew, because of this hefsed meruba, to drive your car. You can do a mule and achri, even for daraisa, to save the car. Then the question is, what about you? So we'll see, but if for you, you couldn't have asked the guy to get you in, just per se, if you had another alternative, right? But you might sometimes be able to use it if you say, well, I can't trust that guy with my car, and that's part of your hefsed meruba, so I'm assuming hefsed meruba, you're going to be able to like drive along with him, right? But a lot of this is going to come down to this halacha over here, tchum. Let's just go over this. Does anyone know anything about the halachas of tchum?
You have 2,000 amos automatically.
Good place to start.
2,000 amos outside the city, though, isn't it?
Here, let's do the whole thing.
Then you add 2,000 amos from the other direction.
We'll make them very firm. Okay, here's our guy. Comes Shkia on Erev Shabbos. What does he have to establish? What gets established? A makom shvisa, right? Every Jew in the world, at the moment Shkia hits, establishes his makom shvisa. Wherever he is, right? Moving or not. Even if you're traveling along, that moment, that's your makom shvisa, and from your makom shvisa, you get in every direction,
2,000 amas.
2,000 amas.
But you could take 2,000 amas from one direction and put it in another direction, right?
If you want to make an Erev, but we don't have to even talk about Erev because we're going to be wanting a lot more than 2,000 amas. Right? There are circumstances where people want 2,000 amos. Rabbi Green was telling me he just had an occasion where he was in that situation. He wanted to visit somebody in a hospital. And we're going to talk about how this arises. It doesn't arise too often in urban areas.
You're 2,800 in one direction because you can do the diagonals.
Ah, so good. Very good. So we're going to get to what he was just talking about. Anyone know what he's talking about?
Yeah, I think so.
It's 2,000 amos, but it's not a circle, the area we look at. We square off the circle.
So you go to
2,000
and that, and that if it's
so
that,
these radii are going to be 2,000 amos, right? Assuming this is the center, right? For the moment, but this is longer, right? Mm-hmm. So this is like 3,555 feet, and this is like 4,900 whatever feet, right? Makes a big difference. But is that enough for anybody? That can help us? No. So what's the next thing? You said something very important. Let's say the guy lives in a house. So where's Malkum Shvisa? Where does the 2,000 almost start? The outside of the house. We got to work our way up. Let's say he has a house in the middle of nowhere. So that's it. He just gets his house. Right? The first case, we're talking about some guy that's stuck in the middle of nowhere by himself. But now we put him in a house. But that's not good enough. We want him in a city because that's going to give us a lot more. Right? So what's a city?
That's very
pleasurable.
We have to define a city because... three houses is not going to be a city. Four houses is not a city. Five houses is not a city. Six houses?
Yeah.
That's a city. Now, how... that's the arbitrary definition, right? So, it's not arbitrary. It was based on Chazal's understanding of this constitutes a city. Whatever, let's not get into that. But how far apart do the houses have to be? They can't just be spread out. Like... In suburbia, the better the neighborhood, the harder this is going to be to accommodate.
I'm not very attached to all that.
Right. So if you're in a situation like that, you're in great shape. But there is a minimum. It's 70 amos, right, plus a mashu, or about 125 feet. That's the distance. If the houses are within, right, 125 feet twice, because they get... where does this come from?
125.
Every house... gets like an Ebor of 70, right? And then you get it from the other end, and then you can combine and you create your city.
This is house, not property, right?
House. Or the Makom Shvisa. Not a bad question. Could be if it's livable
property. Property then.
If it's a Rishus Yachid that has machitzot around it, that can count as the entire tchum.
Ah. Right.
But that's not... We can do better than that. Let's take...
New York City. But how is that? It's like...
We're going to see where...
Is it small enough? Is it Kew Garden Hills?
Watch what happens. We're going to really expand our tchum, like, unbelievably in a moment. So let's say we get a city, and now a city like Teaneck, or where everybody... Let's pick anybody's...
Queens.
All right, Queens. A lot of Queens people. Where do you live?
205.
Far Rockaway. Five towns, Queens seem to be the winner. Okay, good.
Not really. We're basically five towns.
Right.
Those are five towns.
So all you need now is this, is to hook up these different cities, is to be having this, every city gets an Ebor. Right? So you get 250. If you have 250 feet between those cities, right, you get to combine them, but it's even better than that. I'll show you. That's not going to be helpful, you would think, if there's a big gap between the two, right?
Does an apartment building count as one house, or...?
Well, there's a din of Erev Chatzeros that's a problem for apartment buildings. Gabi Tchum, it's not a problem. Gabi Chatzer, right? You have to be Ma'arev all the different private apartments, like a Chatzer. Apartment building is like a big Chatzer. So you need to do Erev Chatzeros to get them to all be one. Otherwise, you can't even carry it from one to the next. But this is a different halacha. It's nothing to do with carrying or hotel. It's a tchum halacha.
How far you walk.
Right. Now, let's say you have a city that's shaped like this. Right? And then I have another city that's shaped like this. And it's even all the way out. I can't draw right in here. Right? But I would be going like this. Right? So there's this tremendous gap between these two. right? Can I combine those two?
You square them off.
Yes, you square off the cities. That's the biggest expander of Tchum in the world. So that this one really becomes the Tchum on this, right? Is this. Everything out here too. And this one gets to use that little out pocket and makes wherever this bottom thing would be, but you get the idea. So I just overlap them over here. This allows for a great expansion. This is why.
And then you square up the whole
thing. The only. What?
Oh, you square up the whole thing.
You get wherever it goes, the bottom, all the borders of the city.
You can have it go to somewhere else. You have the combination.
Yeah, I'm combining them.
No, so can you not square off the whole
combination? Square off the whole combination.
Make one large square.
No. This is the square stops at the city. The square stops at the city.
Why is that an advantage?
Because if I didn't do this, to go from here to here, it would have been a problem. It's going to be much more than the tchum allows, right? But once I square it off, I just made this into one tchum. Well, I'll tell you where this helps me. In Bergen County, everything's great. I can go from very far, Teaneck and beyond, and all the way to the bridge. It's all one city. Because there's very little space between the two. Between the different cities, the towns.
So Queens.
Englewood, Fort Lee, you know, the whole thing just slides right through. But I want to go to Columbia, let's say, right?
The bridge is
a hundred. And I have this big problem with the bridge and a river, but not, I don't, because New York and New Jersey actually play out like this. So the squares can overlap, and that eliminates the problem of Tchum to some degree. The Tchum issue becomes big out in the suburbs. And the more suburban you are, then you're going to have to worry about this, and it's going to affect these
scenes. So anywhere in New York
like,
City is...
down by you, also, it's going to be a problem. All those towns are pretty spread out.
Yeah.
You know, from New Brunswick, East Brunswick, Jamesburg.
Yeah.
All those. So that you have to ask your local rabbanim. Usually, are aware of what's going on.
New York City is fine.
Right. You have to clarify. I think Queens, right? If I'm not mistaken, Queens is in great shape with Brooklyn, Queens. Right? This was the person who was writing is a very Borough Park foppish guy. So, and he was concerned with getting Kew Gardens Hills in. He didn't talk about the island. He put Staten Island outside of it. He said Staten Island's not part of it, but he put together Brooklyn and Queens. And I was waiting to see about the five towns. Like,
I think so. I think
I'm not sure. Where does the five towns hook in? Like, I have to think of the geography, but I'm not really sure.
There's long like expressways or whatever, but...
If there's greater than 250 feet between
our city,
you have to square off. You'll set
Far Rockaway and Five Towns is touch and miss.
No, Far Rockaway and the Five Towns within themselves are fine.
So Far Rockaway,
I'd like to incorporate that whole thing into Brooklyn and Queens.
They are close enough.
Right. Yeah,
I don't think they are exactly.
All right, you have to. These things you can look them up. You can Google it and find out.
They are close enough. There's
all right. Let's do cases.
There are people living entire like in between these areas. Like, there's not enough.
It can't be sporadic people, though. It has to be. You know, once you lose that 125 feet, you know.
I think there is 100 in every 125
feet. 250.
For cities, it's 250. For houses, to make a city, it's 125.
I think there's 100. There's definitely 120 feet in between anywhere between Queens and.
Not every house gets a full ebor. Every city gets a full ebor. The two eborim.
Right,
like storage areas, that's what they're considered, will get to overlap, and that's why you get that extra. But between houses within a city, you only get the 70 almost. All right.
Then would Manhattan get included since, like, I don't know, it's 250 feet? Probably not.
Right. You have to really, there are people, there is an organization that is dedicated, they really work a lot during the summer, they do all the mountains, because that's where there's lots, all those bungalow colonies and everything. Mm-hmm. They will produce maps of the Tchum and give it to the bungalow colony, and they're supposed to hang it up in a very prominent place. People mess up in bungalow colonies all the time on this. You take a Shabbos walk outside the bungalow colony, just down the road, and if you go more than, you know, 2,000 amos, you're going to be over on this. And you know what happens if you're over on this? What's the din if you go outside your Tchum, even by mistake, by accident?
You can't go back.
You get dalet amos. Period. And it's a real halacha. So what do you do if it starts pouring? Or if you have to go to the bathroom? So we should cover the brios, we'll lighten it up. But short of that, you get to go to the closest house.
Drink a lot.
But then you're stuck in the house. If you over on this, If you're over, let's say even as a doctor, let's say you went out and whatever, and you came back. So you go out, you can do whatever you need to do, and then you're coming back. If you are over on Chum, you should stay in whatever you should try to get to the house, have the person, let's say you're coming back by taxi or something, you will try to get to be in the house. And then you kind of have to stay there. But we'll talk about that as we go through scenarios. All right. Let's start with this.
It matters amount of like population in the city or like houses?
In terms of Tchum?
In terms of Tchum.
The houses.
Houses.
The positioning of the houses.
So they have to be stationary houses.
So we have to live there?
As opposed to
livable.
You know, it'll be like a band of wagons.
Livable or lived in?
They're not the same.
No.
Empty houses.
You mean empty houses?
So if you go to Boca during the winter, during the summer, it's...
That's an interesting challenge. I don't really know the answer. Like, in other words, if you have like a place that's abandoned,
yeah.
Does that constitute... There.
Chernobyl.
Will that help me make a city? Question one. And question two, does it help me mitzarif? I think it has to be lived in. I really do. I think it's the Markham Dira.
At this point or at some point? Because like I said, Bungalow Colony during the winter, nobody lives there.
It's not a big question. I mean, I would think, you know, Rove of the Year or something like that. Like, in general, it's lived in. If somebody's away on vacation, I don't even have to check if he...
Bungalow colonies are not generally lived in, though.
It could be that the status of the home is different in the summer or winter. All right. Person set out the heter, right? In other words... That's very important with everything we're going to talk about. You don't get to use the Zotero, as we emphasized many times.
Unless you're
a good guy. So again, most of you guys
are
medicine, you're in good shape. You get to use this. Just be careful if you're ever off medicine and just get into this problem stam, if you were poshea, you don't get to use the Zotero, right? That's what happens. Doctors said this is the big pet peeve that causes all these gedolim to come out against doctors. Is that we use our Zotero out of place. That would be inconsistent with what you should do. Person set out the heter, but he either totally miscalculated or had what's a more common scenario? Car broke down. This is the typical thing. Your car broke down, but you're onus, right? You're in the middle of nowhere. Okay? So let's start with that. What should you do? What's the very best thing to do? It's getting, you're calculating that you're going to be in trouble for Shabbos.
There is, if you can get I'll get a hotel and
right, so good, food. I believe you're saying this, good.
And food, and food
right.
For Shabbos.
It's always akala kaltzchu, right? So the least amount of averus you can possibly do is what you're always going to do. So in this particular scenario, if you're near a town that's reasonable for Shabbos, go there. And that's the best option.
Is that reasonable for Shabbos? A place that you can have a hotel and eat, or a place with a shul and...
So if it's a question of Shabbos mamish, it's a very important question. It's going to be different whether it's Ben Hashmashos question or Shabbos mamish question. If it's a Shaila Ben Hashmashos, then a tzorech like oneg is good enough to allow hetero.
But
if it's going to be Shabbos mamish, you're not going to be allowed just for better, enjoyable time.
Well, Kabbalah is
supposed to
own
eggs.
Does that make a difference?
No, that's not going to make a difference. So your first thing is just try to get to a place you can do shops. That's obvious. What's the next option? I'll give you some possibilities. Park your car right there out in the wilderness, and you know, maybe you'll be a little hungry, but you wait out to 24 hours, 25 hours, and then you go home. That's a stupid thing to do, right?
That's
the kind of slipashas. No one should do that. Do not do that. There are people that think that way, but they're not being very bright. I told you about the guy that walked from the GW. That's like that. You know, just don't do that. Okay, so what's the next option?
Then if you can get a guy, place.
You can get a guy to drive you, right?
So park your car and get a taxi.
If you can, then do that. What has to be that you're not going to lose your entire car and all its contents, right? And B, the non-Jews trustworthy with whatever he's going to do for you. But if you can get the non-Jew to drive your car, right, with you in it, that's a good option too, right?
Not really realistic.
Now, how far do you get him to take you? Lechatchila. Let's take Chum out of it for the moment. So, Take the Klamath. You're not dealing with it.
So it's still a place that's safe.
Right, exactly. Right? Everybody, this is all elementary. Right? This was intuitive that you should think. Okay? Now, what if you don't have that? What if there's no going around? It's going to be Shabbos and you're driving.
Because
so it's okay. So you drive. Now, what's the best way to drive?
Shabbat.
Here's the things you should do.
Close.
Okay, we'll talk about Shabbat in a second.
Close as long as you can.
What about your headlights? It's broad daylight at this point, but you know you're heading into Shabbos.
Turn them on.
Leave them on.
What if yours are automatic?
Huh? Even better.
You know, don't.
What are you going to do? You could. Well, if you're saying, like, in other words, you're going to be going them to go on.
Yeah, exactly.
So then you put them on. Then
driving into a tunnel.
So you're right. Probably better to put them on. Right? You better to put them on yourself.
So then you turn off your car, you can't turn them on.
But we'll get to that point. What else should you do? What about signaling? How essential for Sakanas Nefesh is the signal?
Not at all.
You still have to signal on the highway.
If you want to use that example. For the most part, you don't need to signal. You could use hand signals, but if there's any Sakana, like you determine, you know what?
On the highway,
I don't think it's safe. I'm going to signal, then you can signal. If you determine it's a Sakana, it goes through the thing we were talking about this morning, right? It's in the 10 to 50% range, so you can definitely make the decision, I'm afraid not to signal, I'll signal. Okay,
you get a ticket for not signaling?
Huh?
Yeah. Then you're going to get a ticket.
So what?
Then you're going
to... You can't be Mechal Shabbos to avoid paying a ticket.
But if it's during not Shabbos,
you're worried that it's going to make it more likely that you're not going to make Shabbos.
If it's Spanish Mechal, then you're going to be... It's going to be a big expense. That doesn't matter at all.
Oh, okay. So tickets generally not a big expense.
Where does Dino Achus Dino come in?
I've never seen anyone give a ticket for a signal. Has that
ever happened? It happens, it's just,
not so common.
Right.
What about where is Dino Malchus Dino coming?
Like, in what sense?
Signal like.
Yeah, so, you know, again, Dino Malchus Dino is like in a 55 mile per hour place. Can you drive 60 miles per hour? What do you think?
Yeah. I think yes, because it's not really.
Because they're Malchus. They're Malchus, right? So the same thing, I think, with signal.
But they're not Malchus.
I think so. Think so.
If they were Machpin, then you wouldn't be able to. And then you would have to signal on.
It wouldn't be Docha Shabbos.
But it would be Docha this time.
Din of the Machos Adina can never make you go against a Din in the Torah. Din of the Machos Adina cannot make you be over on a Din Rabban. Either. Right? Din of the Machos Adina is generally going to force you to pay your taxes. Right? It's in general, it's supplementing, not taking away from Torah. You know, if you don't even listen to your parents when it comes to doing an Avera, Afilu Derabanan, so you're not going to be listening to Dinos and Dinos. Okay. Here you are, Prishkia, and you feel you're going to get close enough, right, that you could stop driving and walk the rest of the way, right? Within the tchon, okay, and you could get to a position and lock your valuables in your car, right?
Car is in the same place.
And the car is going to be in a relatively safe, in a safe place that you can trust, and you can walk. But it's right. So now you're driving along. And you feel you can make it all the way if you got to this spot. So you could get before Shkia to a spot where you'd be able to make it the rest of the way by foot.
You should.
So what should you do?
You should have to get out.
Think so? Everybody agree with that?
Yeah. Isn't there a thing that there's two Vassal ways had a few like when you need to call Shabbos is there's like batel Shabbos or docha, like if it completely cancels out like the karma lacha you're doing, or
but we hold docha.
No, you're talking about like the Chazon Ish saying that you shouldn't be mabatel Shabbos.
Right,
but we hold in a permanent way.
If you're driving like on Shabbos, should you like try to keep it a certain speed, so therefore you wouldn't like break, like. So you try like just put it on coast, so therefore you're always in the intensity of not putting so much energy.
Before we get to that, why do you think that you need to do that? What's the other option? Right? Let's go with this scenario again. You're coming in and you're driving and it's Vadayom. I know I can get just close enough where I'll stop my car and park it, and then I can walk the rest of the way.
Just Vadayom, why not? Well, Vadayom, you could continue until Vanish Mushos.
I'm saying, do you know if you don't park, you're driving during Vanish Mushos? Right?
If I'm driving.
If you're driving, you're driving.
What's another option?
Have nachri drive, because it's Spanish Marshals, so that's completely what's it.
Right, so you could stop your car. This is what most people will do. Stop your car, drive close enough that you can get to your car to the safe place, you don't have to worry about the Hefsid Maruba. And then you get out of your car, if you're able to, and get a taxi to take you the rest of the way. How do you, if you're going to do that, right, or this scenario comes up a lot from the get-go. Usually, most of the scenarios that you guys will be involved in, you will be, let's say, in a hospital, right, where you're going to be in a position where you could take a taxi in Zabin HaShemashos. So how do you go about doing that? It's already Zabin HaShemashos.
If you have to decide whether you're going to get there before Shabbos Mamash.
Right, so at this first scenario, you will. So what are you going to do?
Then you can take.
But go through the whole thing. You got to realize this is a practical thing. Like, how do you get this taxi?
If you had to pay him before.
How'd you get him?
If they hail him down. Oh.
So if you're out there and you can hail him, what's the other option?
Call him.
Or have a guy call him. Right?
If you call him before Bish.
What kind of affair is dialing a phone? That's what I'm getting at.
Grubba.
It's Darabon.
The
So here we have Banish Mashos. We don't have to suddenly be like the Chazanish. We don't pass him like him. So the thing to do, and this is going to apply to any time, this Chazara from Hatzalah also. Right? We're going to pass him like the mainstream Shita that you're allowed to do Darabonans to get home. Right? But even otherwise, particularly during Banish Mashos, so it's Amir Lanachri is Mutter Laganre during Banish Mashos. So the best thing to do would be get a non-Jew to get a taxi. Now you got the taxi. What do you do next? You're heading towards the taxi. You're walking towards it. What are you going to do?
Ask him to open the door.
Yes, for sure. Now I have some funny stories on that one, because if they don't know anything about this stuff, they get very nervous. But I'll save the nervous story for a minute, because I'll tell you. They think that you're going to kill them or something, right? Because. Or you're a prima donna. Right? I had that happen once. But let me tell you, let's go through the whole scenario. So you got to tell them to open the door. Why do you have to tell them to open the door? Because the light. You can't do that.
So you can't close the door either.
What about paying them?
You can.
So how are you going to pay them?
Right.
So mekach memkar is okay. Good. But the money's moksa. Best to not be carrying that around. So what you want to do is have it prepared out. Let's say you were able to put this all together before Beit HaShemashos started. So you would want to secure everything, right? This is going to be important for you guys when your wives are due, to have this set up. Every Shabbos you're going to go through this scenario. Everything we're saying now applies to that scenario too.
So you have every button typed into your phone, so you only...
Yes, you minimize as much as possible. So you're going to, you know, get that. Best is to tell the taxi ahead of time that I might need them. And then you can pay them by credit card after. That's the kind of arrangement I have now. Because when I'm in the area, I'm using it all the time. Or thank God I'm not, but I used to. And so we have an arrangement. I don't have to pay anything. But if you're out there in the middle of nowhere, so have the money out in a way. So one funny story is at one time, before I had my arrangement, when I was new to the neighborhood, and I got suddenly... a situation where it was a sakanas nefashos requiring me to come in, but a sakanas nefashos that I had 3 hours leeway. So it wasn't like you see most situations are like that, where you need to come in, you can't delay it till the day's over, but it's not like, you know, it's a cardiac arrest where you got to be there right then and there. It's a situation where you must be there within a few hours. So for that, I didn't think I really have an excuse to drive in, so I go in by cab. So I Bishinoi called the cab because I didn't have a guy in my house. I called Bishinoi the cab. I had the guy come, and he's waiting out there. So I want him to come in and take the money. I don't want to bring the money out to him. So he comes and he's waiting, and I tell him, I try to tell him, I need you to come inside the house. He's stuck sweating. because he's like thinking, you know, like I'm, it's one of these hijackings of an innocent cab driver by some nutcase, you know, serial murderer or something, and he's refusing to come in. So I said to him, call your dispatcher. I explained it to him, because I had. I said, make sure that the guy, when he comes, comes into the house, because I would like him to, you know, take the money. So he calls up his dispatcher, and the dispatcher tells him, and he's coming in. But, like an idiot, I forgot, I didn't put the money downstairs. The money was upstairs in the room. So he walks in the house, and he's, like, shaking. He's still nervous about the whole thing. And I'm like, he's saying, oh, just give me the money and get me out of here. And I said, well, you got to go up the stairs. Takes off. Runs out of the house. Out of here. He starts cursing. And leaves. So I call back the next guy. And this time I said, all right, now it's going to delay me getting to the patient. So I bring the money down. It's not enough money. So I'm like, oh my God, this is crazy. So I said, do you have a credit card? So he says, okay, take the credit card. What's the danger of the credit card? He wants me to sign. So I said, I can't sign. So taxi cab number two leaves. I'm not taking you unless you sign this. I said, call your dispatcher. I'm not calling my dispatcher. He leaves. Call the dispatcher again. By the third one, I felt already, you know, like an hour had gone by or more. I ended up driving in. So it's best to be prepared. And, you know, most people in the New York area know about Sabbath observing Jews. In the whole New York metropolitan area, see, that's an exceptional episode. But if you're outside the New York metropolitan area, as many people will end up, you have to really be careful that you explain things in a reasonable way.
Here, but on the only drivers on Shabbos are Arabs.
In Eretz Yisrael, it's a whole other ballgame. That's not necessarily true. Oh, that reminds me of another scenario. What would you do if this happened to you? Yes, one time I'm in the car, and, you know, you're on the way to the hospital, wherever it is, and the guy starts schmoozing it up. And, you know, you're best being ignorant. You don't want to know that. You can assume Rove are not Jews. So you could assume you're dealing with...
You mean here or...
Amir Lachri and at least Meiver, which is a worse
right.
Amir.
Right.
So
here in America. Here Rove are Jews.
Not on Shabbos,
but
I don't know. I think it's the same in both. Same issues in both, right? So, I think here it's harder. I really do. I really think it's harder. I don't think there's that many Arab kids. I think there's enough, you know, Filonim. But in America, this happens. The best thing is to remain ignorant and go count on Rove. You don't need to know if the guy's Jewish enough to say, are you Jewish? Right?
In Israel, do you have Rove?
I don't know. I don't know the Messias. It's a good question. In America, so in the middle of the ride, this guy starts telling me, oh, I'm Jewish. He's all proud of it, you know, because he's wondering, after I put him through the light thing, you know, you have to open the door for me, and it wasn't because I'm a spoiled, old-fashioned, going to a taxi who has a taxi cab, open the door for you guy. I just can't go the light on. He says, oh, you're Jewish, me too. Right? So when he tells me that at the beginning of the trip, what's the din?
Jump out.
That's it, you can't go. That's Leif Neiver.
Oh, you're already in the car.
You can't have it. But once he's driving me there already, do I have to stop and get out and get into a situation where it's going to be very difficult to get there? In the time it happened to me, I said it's going to be too much of a sakana for the patient, so it was an easy decision for me to make. But this is a real consideration. Try not to chat too much and find this out. You're better off. Ignorance is bliss in these circumstances, for sure. You don't want to find that out. What about the following scenario? How much time do we have?
None.
Okay. All right. A couple more scenarios, but we will go to a new topic anyway next time. If you have any halacha maisa situations that you envision on your own, that you would like to run by me and talk through, please do. The more prepared you are, we will get into this again when we do Chazar Matzah, which I'm going to do before...